B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Because if you leave, what are you going to do? Like, if you want that spot and there's nobody there, nobody's in the water, you know, are you just going to tear their stuff down and set your stuff up there?
Listen.
Because people go like 10 by 10 pop-up tents.
Listen, well, yeah, we have seen times where your stuff is, I remember coming back, it took a long walk,
mm-hmm.
and coming back, and my stuff was
chairs like, are folded up?
It was messed up.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't tell who was at fault. Was it just the wind, because it was windy,
mm-hmm.
or if it was man-made?
Somebody went over there and like put the umbrella down.
Yeah.
Maybe and the umbrella's blue, and then somebody closed
and there,
it.
And there was no umbrella, but it was towels and sneakers and stuff.
Oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't have any surveillance. You don't have CCTV footage.
No.
To see if somebody did that on purpose or if
they're right, they were trying to claim it.
All right. So my opinion on it is, if you're going to do that, you have to keep a body there. Like, you can't go set up at 8 in the morning, come back at 11.
But the fact
peak.
That you would go set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a part of me that goes, I'm impressed. Like, you got up, schlepped down there, and staked that. You know, you can do whatever you want after that.
Yeah, it's a public beach, though. Yeah, I mean, see, I can see you're in favor because you're a South Philly guy. You dig out the parking spot, you put up the folding chair, which is a violation.
It's not a violation.
That's a stone violation.
No, it's not.
You dig your car out. Now you own a spot.
He who digs, shovels the snow, gets the space.
So they claim the space until the milk comes?
Yes.
See, I agree there. Because, you know, I deal with that in Manioc. However, I saw somebody never dug their space out. There wasn't enough snow. But they drove out. And because they drove out, while it was snowing, the car blocked the snow from landing on the ground. He then put the chair on it. So he did no work to save said spot.
No, you could only...
That's a violation.
Right. You only get the space if you did the work.
Yes. So I honked at the guy. Kind of like Jason here.
When you roll down the window, give him a...
Oh. Yeah. Well, I honked at him and he got out of his car. He's like, well, I live right here. I was like, okay, I live right there. Two houses up.
Yeah.
And he refused. He said, if you knock over my chair, blah, 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 blah.
What'd you do? I would have knocked over the chair.
I found another spot close.
Yeah, but I would have still knocked over the chair.
Yeah, you're right.
In that case, as soon as he's gone, I'll go, okay, I'll find another spot. But I'm going to fold up the chairs and put them on the sidewalk and somebody else will come park at that spot. Because you're going to come home and you didn't do any shoveling, dude. You didn't earn it.
That's a total violation.
Total violation. Especially in Manioc?
Yeah, it was up one of the hills.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's like parking in hell over there in a winter storm.
It's not fun.
No, it's not. But he got indignant with you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the fact
that I started the honk. Yeah, I rolled down my window. It's snowing. It's cold. I rolled the window down. I was like, what's going on, man?
And you got beaten. Okay.
So you live in Manioc. You lived in the city forever. I lived in the city, but I parked in a parking garage when I lived there.
Right.
At Fifth and Market. So I was undercover because we had a deal through the radio station. I was working at Fifth and Market at the time. Right. So I didn't worry about that whole parking thing. But in the wintertime, do you you leave in the trunk an ice scraper? And a couple of folding chairs?
No, so set up? I mean, quite frankly, I never did it.
Okay.
I never put the chair.
Okay.
But I also think the rule should be you lay claim. If you dig out the space, you deserve the space.
So if you perform the labor.
I never really looked down on the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I encountered a chair a million times.
Yeah, see, these rules for parking in Philly are so...
But I never, it didn't bother me.
The rules for parking...
I kind of understood it.
...in South Philly are so up for interpretation because, I mean, people are parked in medians. It's crazy.
It used to be even worse.
Yeah. Cars stacked on each other,
now
basically.
A lot of people moving in town now don't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be way worse.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, that's where all that parking in the middle of the street, you say mediums, you know.
Yeah. One of the reasons I moved out of the city, other than I was, you know, I wanted to have kids and I wanted to be back in the suburbs, because that's where I kind of grew up. Not kind of grew up, I did grow up. But one of the reasons that helped push me to move out of the city, and I lived in Old City, like in front of an arch down there, was the parking. That every, I mean, if your meter ran out 30 seconds, they were on me with a ticket.
Well, listen, I hate the parking authority, too. Like, the parking authority is the worst. I get
it. I hope they go home and they're not happy.
I hope they get a ticket.
Well, listen, I feel bad for those people who work the parking authority because
they got a mandate.
You got a job. Like, you're out there working and you're like the tax man in the Roman days. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody looks at you sideways. Like, I feel bad for the parking attendants.
Yeah.
No, I think I do. Like, I look at them. Not a parking authority.
A bit of a creep.
Yeah, but those people are just trying to earn a buck. The parking authority is where your beef should lie. The entity that is the parking authority.
Yeah.
And they are. Listen, they kill you. They kill the city.
Yeah.
Because
they deter.
It's a hassle to park, right? Anyway, even in, like, with streets, all of a sudden, like, it's everywhere now. There was never, ever 2-hour parking in South Philly. Never 2 hours. You
park until you were done.
No, there was just no, there was never 2-hour parking. Now there's 2-hour parking in South Philly.
Yeah, and they're putting a timer on you.
It's everywhere. Unless you have a sticker, unless you, live in that neighborhood, which is fine. But my point is, like, they just overdo it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you get streets that are like an hour parking.
Yeah,
but you can't give people an hour parking. That's not right.
What can you even accomplish in the city in an hour? You know what I mean? You got to move the car. It's a pain in the ass. The only thing worse, though, is when your car gets towed and you got to go down there to get it out of that lot. You want to talk about second, like, it's like insane down there.
Well, you get the bulletproof glass.
Yeah, they're arguing.
And, every day you see an argument, like every time you're there.
Coming to blows.
Well, because here's the thing, they take your car, and you're like, yo.
Yeah.
And then there's only a certain way you can get it out.
Yeah.
And then they overcharge you, and then they compound it by, it was overnight. Well, you took it at 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah. He says all of a sudden now you got the storage fee of like 78 bucks a day.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And it drives people into... It drives people to do bad things.
Yeah.
And you know the other thing, too, is?
Like, can I get your registration? Well, it's in the car, dude.
Worst is the people behind the glass.
Oh, they are just...
Because they deal with irate people all day, it makes them numb to it.
Yeah.
So people are going crazy, right? Freaking out. And then they're just looking calm as could be.
Yep.
And they just shake their head no. And that makes people even more incensed.
Yeah, because they don't seem like they give a crap.
Now, that is a horrible situation.
Meanwhile, it's not just the cost of getting it out. You probably have to get a cab to get to wherever you're going.
Or a ride.
Yeah, I remember my car got towed from Temple once.
Yes.
And I had to go all the way down to the towing company that's near the airport. That cab ran me like 30, 40 bucks.
Yeah,
and then I paid the $200 on top of it.
And then the storage fee.
Yep.
And then you got to jump through 8 hoops. Show this, show that. God forbid if your license is expired by like a week and you don't realize it.
Meanwhile, they're not taking the great care of your car. So when I turned the car on, all of a sudden I had check engine lights on all over the place.
Jeez, yeah. 610-632-0975.
So here's the deal, right? So my man, Johnny Sarah in Wildwood, says that you got up at 6:00 in the morning to claim your real estate on the beach. So you don't that's not a violation. That's the rules of the beach.
Yeah.
I'm cool if you leave your stuff there.
Well, certain beaches are different than others. Like Wildwood, you got so much space on a Wildwood beach. It'd take you a half hour to get from the boardwalk to the water. You got a quarter mile walk of beach to get down there.
Yeah, he said also you can't touch people's things. That way people go nuts.
Yeah, you don't want to touch people's
things. No.
Yeah.
Sammy Sags, meanwhile, a Ocean City man, says 10 by 10 tents are a violation unless you have multiple infants.
Well, it impedes people's view of the ocean.
Yeah, you can't have a tent.
Got too much going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't put the 10 by 10 in the front row.
Yeah.
You got to be a couple rows back.
See, here's the thing, that the tent
is
taking over. I was down last time I was at Brigantine, and there was probably like 10 tents. My dad had the lone umbrella. Everybody else had tents at this point.
Really?
The umbrella is now old school.
The umbrella's becoming passé?
Yes.
Wow.
Wait a second.
You're not cool if you have an umbrella anymore.
Wait a second. Tents?
Dude, Dude, there was 10 tents just where, like, my parents' beach is.
This looks like the infield of a NASCAR race.
Yes.
Sheesh.
I don't understand the tent.
It was easy to find my spot. It was really easy to find my spot. Oh, there's the one umbrella.
Yeah, tents are a violation, I think.
I agree
with Sags.
But if everybody's doing it, is it a violation?
Yeah, because you can't see the ocean. First of all,
you're there for the view.
It's the beach. You want an umbrella, you're going to shake it an umbrella. Otherwise, go put SPF on and enjoy the sun. I think the tent is a violation. First of all, it's nothing I don't understand. People want to have a 7-course meal on the beach.
Yeah.
And then the birds come. You got to eat on the beach?
You know what?
How about you get up, you go have lunch somewhere, and you come back. Who the hell wants to eat on the beach?
I respect it, man.
Everything.
Horrible.
Yeah, you try to eat a sandwich.
It's
uncomfortable.
You don't want to eat on the beach.
When I was last time I was down, I went fishing, right? And this guy brought a portable grill with him that I guess he just connected to a generator or something.
A little propane tank?
Yeah, little propane tank, and he connected it to a generator. He caught the fish, gutted the fish, cooked the fish,
and
ate it with eggs.
What do you do with the remains of the fish? Throw it back in the water?
Throw it back into the water.
And a little chunk.
Years ago, I did.
Now you got sharks coming up to the freaking water.
Well, there's always sharks, Jason.
No, but
I'm out on the beach.
I did that in Italy years ago. I went on it. We went to this kind of island, and off of Sicily, and they caught the fish, and they had the right on the beach was the
go back and cook it up.
What was the barbecue? Was the grills? Like they had grills.
Slightly fresh.
They had grills set up.
Yeah, this thing was swimming an hour ago.
Like they literally had grills set up on the beach, and. It was unbelievable.
Clean it and fillet.
It was outrageous.
Yeah, I kind of respect that.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I just put it right on tinfoil.
An hour ago, that fish is just swimming around. Now he's on your plate.
Yeah, no, and then he just did it. You know, they put grilled it, a little olive oil, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, it's fresh as can be. 610-632-0975.
Well, Natalie is looking at me crazy.
What? Yeah. Wow. I like a nice cheese sandwich on the beach.
Ew.
I go cheese and mustard on the beach.
Yeah, cheese and mustard on the beach. Simple, yeah.
Cheese and yellow mustard.
No. Yep.
Fresh out of the cooler, wrapped in tin foil.
Wrapped in foil, yeah.
Right? So good.
It gets a nice...
I skeeve.
It's a nice item. Well, my wife brings the entire kitchen down to the beach.
Yeah, cheese sandwich.
What, like white bread?
Yeah, white bread, cheese, mustard, yellow mustard.
That's a good sandwich.
All I ate as a kid.
Hard. Yeah, same. It's classic.
Yep. Never goes
American
out,
American cheese?
Yes.
You go on like four slices, too.
I skeeved the American cheese.
What?
I don't like American
you
cheese.
You don't like a pound of Land O'Lakes white American?
Nope.
I have a slice of American cheese every day I get home.
Nope. I don't like it.
Communist you are.
I don't like it. And you can't eat on a beach. White Rhonda.
All right.
You can eat on a beach. You got birds coming around that. You're drawing the birds, Nat. That's your problem.
No. You have to put the tail over top of you and eat the sandwich.
Why do you want to do that?
Yeah, the kids don't do that, though.
Why don't you leave the beach? Go have a nice, like a human being, and you have a nice lunch.
No, and then you wave down the fudgy wudgy man. Yeah, get yourself a nice popsicle.
That's fun.
Evan's over there feeding the Cheetos to the birds. Yeah. The birds should not be eating Cheetos, dude.
Listen, I feel you. I like Fudgy Wudgy guy. I'm cool. I think he deserves a play. He deserves a play, Fudgy Wudgy man. But you don't need to bring cheese sandwiches. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Meanwhile, you got a wet bar down there. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. I got a movie thing I got to bring up to you coming up, all right? Stay tuned. I want to see if Cuz is in on this movie. We'll go this weekend, me, you, and the boys. It is the Midday Show.
All right.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. 97.5 The Fanatic. Earlier today with Gargano and Mertitus.
We talk about, is Tobias a max player? Well, you know what? If Tobias Harris is your fourth best player on a team, what's that tell you? It tells you you're a championship team.
Yeah, you're pretty damn good.
So who cares?
Because you're just going into the tax.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, is he a max player? Probably not. But who cares? He would be your fourth best player. Isn't that worth a max contract?
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Wheel Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. with your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Real Philly delis. Visit realphillydeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
What up?
All right. Midday show. So, pitching matchups this week in Florida. That a kid they got going against tonight is pretty good for the Marlins. I know Tunis, you'll have the baseball show later on today. And special note, tomorrow, 8 to noon, Tunis and the bro.
Oh, they're doing the co-host
show. I love it.
Okay, 8 to noon, you said tomorrow? I got some stuff to take care of in the morning. You may give me some good option to listen there.
I'm actually looking forward to it because I get done. I do my Fox show. I'm done at 10, right? I'll be able to listen to...
What time you start, Mo?
I do the morning.
7?
6.
6? You don't get up that early on a weekend?
What are you going to do? I've been doing it for...
Call that program there to say I need to come in later.
I've been doing it
for... Not with you.
10 years, so, you know.
God, I keep getting up early.
But I'll be able to listen to my boys.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're making good decisions here.
That's good. Well, that's because of Coach Camille running things.
Yes. That's a smart decision by Coach Camille.
Well, let me ask you a question. Your pitching matchups. You have them in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Go for it.
Jason's got
Velasquez and Hernandez tonight.
Hernandez is good.
I still like the Phils tonight.
Now, listen, you're like, because he's like, this kid's 0-2. We're like, you're 0-2 for the game.
Yeah, he's 0-2 for the Marlins.
For the Marlins, but he still pitched well. His whip's like 115.
Saturday. It's a 4-10 game Saturday.
There's nothing worse than Phillies Marlins.
Oh, isn't it just an empty ballpark?
Like, I look at this weekend, I go, oh, it sucks. Like, no baseball.
Like, Roy Halladay throws that perfect game, but you're looking at that terrible stadium. Because that was before they were in Miami.
That was awful. Yeah.
It was that Florida stadium.
They got to get rid of that team, man. That team's trash.
Well, they're going to split time between... Oh, no, that's the Rays.
That's
they're
the
going to split time between there and Montreal, which I think is a whole can
it's
of worms.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous thing. Saturday, though, is Eflin Yamamoto.
That's going to be a tough game.
And Sunday is Arietta Richards.
Hey, by the way, Yamamoto's good.
Yes.
But they got no excuse, man.
You sweep them.
The Marlins swept the Phillies. So I don't want to hear. Listen, you should sweep them. I'm not going to give the edict of anything less than a sweep. But you got to at least take two or three.
Here's my
if
one.
If you don't take two or three.
You're right back where you were Monday.
I don't want to hear about the Mets series.
Here's my one fear for today.
What?
They just swept the Mets.
Right.
Two straight walk-off wins. Apparently, the airplane was... They were jumping. They loved it. They fly into Miami when they're in a good mood.
Oh, yeah.
They probably went out partying last night.
That's South Beach.
Listen, that's always been a problem.
Yes.
It's the home field advantage. Yeah, plays into it. It's why
it comes off a walk-off. Yeah, Gene Segura probably celebrated last night.
Yeah, that's why teams going out to Vegas in the NHL that first year had a little bit of trouble in that barn.
Segura.
Teams flying in the day of the game. Get in and out of Vegas as quick as possible. So the Braves series is... How about this? Pivetta Keuchel.
Wow, that's Monday night?
Yep. No, it's actually Tuesday. They're off Monday.
Oh, man.
I hope they just rock Keuchel.
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting. Then Nola and a TBD for the Bravos, and then Velasquez Soroka.
Soroka's good. Velasquez Soroka, is that what you said?
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, though. You got to take two or three. I don't want to hear about anything other than don't talk bamboo unless you take two or three at least from Miami and two or three from Atlanta.
Hurricane Freeman.
Okay. Hurricane Freeman's waiting.
So this series against the Mets.
He sends me this bamboo every day.
Oh, I know.
After every win, I'm going to send you a picture, the same photo of that bamboo.
You better water your bamboo because it could rot.
And I keep looking for bamboo devastation.
Yeah.
I'm looking through these hurricane pictures to send back to him.
The Mets series before the All-Star break, Eflin DeGrom, game one, Arietta Mata, game two, and then Pivetta Syndergaard.
Oh, so we get Syndergaard and DeGrom.
And that's it. You didn't see either of them in this year.
I know.
And now you're going to get both of them at the end of the
month. Syndergaard's been pretty bad this year.
Yeah, it's still Syndergaard, though.
He's coming off the injured list.
Yeah.
You know, he might be, back normal.
Yeah. But you're going to see DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard. Did you see? Well, I took a picture of this last night. Did you see what happened with Syndergaard?
No.
I saw this on
they're so bad.
Twitter last night.
I love it.
Apparently, he like fat fingered a like.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
This guy tweeted something about the Mets, I guess, firing. I got to bring up
It was about the GM.
About the GM being a boob. And he liked the tweet by accident.
No.
Yeah, and he's like, calm down, everybody. It was
accidental. He had put out a tweet saying that he fat fingered it. It's like, I don't know.
All right, so here it is. This guy puts out a tweet. It's this guy, Max O'Neill, just any everyday Joe. He goes, Mickey Callaway must have some great blackmail material for Brody Van. I can't see the whole thing, but and he liked it.
That's great.
So he goes, one of the guys from Barstool, KFC Barstool, goes, Noah Syndergaard doesn't give an F. Because he screenshotted it. So Syndergaard replies, accidental like, everybody chill out.
Accidental like, that's great.
But he embraced it too. It's pretty funny.
Accidental like is classic.
Yeah. You never know, like, if you're going to, like, follow somebody, like, if you're fiddling with your phone, you're going to follow somebody, or if you like something or retweet something that, I mean, you could, like, retweet something really bad in today's Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like racist or whatever.
Be careful.
Sexist, anything. You got to be careful.
Hey, by the way, Kurt Heelan, who will be joining us today at 1:15, he's out west, but he just put out a tweet. The Hornets offered Kemba Walker $160 million, about $61 million less than the projected Supermax.
Yeah, they want him out. So we offered him $160, and then they end up getting rid of him. So
yeah, listen, I don't blame it. I don't blame him.
All right, 610-632-0975. Before we get back to the phones, all right, I saw this movie trailer come out a while ago, and it intrigued me. And I want to see if you're in it. I'll get the tickets on my, what's that app you use? Fandango. We'll go to the movie this weekend, sit in the AC. All right, it's going to be hot. But this movie intrigued me for some reason. Yeah. There's a movie coming out called Yesterday. And it's the guy from Slumdog Millionaire is in it. He's like the main guy, and there's this like power outage or power surge that happens. And it zotses the world's brains. And it makes it as if the Beatles band never existed. Nobody remembers them. He Googles Beatles, and a picture comes up of a bug, not of John, Paul, Ringo, and George. Nobody knows who they are, but he knows all the songs. He's a musician trying to make his way in music. So he plays Beatles songs, but pawns them off as his own. And then the age-old dilemma comes up. What if the world goes back to normal and they find out he's a fraud? And it's the music of the Beatles, which we either like, dislike, or we all respect. But for some reason, this movie and that thin storyline has me incredibly intrigued. Now, here's the guy from Slumdog Millionaire performing Yesterday. This is him. All right, here it is. One of the great songs, Anthony, of all time.
Yesterday.
Nice job, right?
All my troubles seem
actually, he has a good voice.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
So he performed this, actually. This is an acoustic version he performed on his own in the Abbey Road Studios.
He's a great actor. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Slumdog Millionaire was a great movie.
Yep. So everybody's kind of lauding the kid. Going, oh my God, how'd you write that song? And then, boom, he goes, Let It Be. He writes another one. He's the most prolific songwriter, like, in the history of the world with all these songs. He's just pouring out of them, apparently, because nobody knows the Beatles. Are you interested? Should I book you on the Fandango?
No.
Why?
Why?
Come on, that's a good story.
No, it's not.
That's a terrible story.
It's a good story.
It's a thin music line, or thin premise for a movie, but for some reason, why am I so intrigued by it? I'm not a huge Beatle fan.
I'm not either.
I mean, Beatles aren't even a top 10 for me. I recognize the impact and all that.
Listen, I understand. I respect.
It's a popcorn movie.
I got respect, but I got no,
hook.
I'm not going to go spend 2 hours listening to Beatles.
No?
No.
You're out?
Yes.
All right. I don't know why I'm so interested
in that
movie.
On Spotify.
Yeah, listen, I'm not a musical movie person.
What do you mean?
In fact, I hate musicals.
Like the genre of the musical?
I hate the musical. I'm going to tell you straight up, whether it's, Broadway, I was in New York a long time.
Yeah.
I love plays. I like a play.
Not a musical.
I don't go near a musical.
So you're not a Phantom of the Opera guy?
No.
Or Les Miserables?
No.
You're a Miserables when it comes to music.
Don't like
just not
music.
Les Miserables.
I'm out. Out. And see, now there's a big gold rush going on in films with like a musical interludes, right?
Yeah. So, and biopics.
Right. That's the point. Right.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, the Queen one.
Mm-hmm. Out. Fred Mercury.
Out on that.
Elton John.
Out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No shot.
No interest in, doesn't interest zero. You at all.
No, less than zero.
Wow.
What was the Elton John one?
It's the Rocket Man or whatever it's called.
Oh.
It just came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm out. I'm not sure
if that's what it's called.
Yeah, it is called.
No, I don't want that. I don't want to see that. No.
I saw Les Miserables at the Imperial Theater on Broadway, the original cast in New York City, way back in like 1992.
Proudy.
It was great.
It was a great musical.
I saw it as well?
Seen it a couple times.
Yeah. Had a guy?
No, I'm out.
Wow. That's not the guy from Slumdog Millionaire in the movie? The guy who's back there? Tyler? I thought that was the guy from Slumdog Millionaire in the movie. He just said that's not the guy in the movie. Was not in Slumdog. I didn't know that. He looks like him. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to find out. All right, so let me ask you this, Anthony.
No, I'm not a music. I love plays. All plays right. are my thing.
What about are you in on sports biopic? Like sports you had The Rookie?
No.
Remember with Dennis Quaid? What?
I didn't see it.
What? You didn't see The Rookie?
I know the story.
Yeah, I know. But you want to watch the movie?
No. If I know the story, it's really difficult for me to watch the movie.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
All right, but you are a big fan of some interesting.
Well, you know that.
Yeah. I think he's wrong. Himesh Patel is the guy. Wasn't he in Slumdog Millionaire?
The guy in Slumdog Millionaire was Dev Patel.
Ah, jeez. So close, but far away. Are they related?
You were pumped up.
Yeah.
No, Patel's a very common surname in India.
This guy was in something else, though. I got to figure it out. So if you're a big guy, you like to write. You write movies. If you're writing the biopic of a Philadelphia sports star, The Treatment, who are you writing it on? You wrote one, actually, on the Immaculata thing.
Yeah, I mean, that
that's a biopic.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Kathy Ross, yeah.
Yep. So who are you writing, if you want to break through in Hollywood, who are you writing the biopic on in Philadelphia sports history?
I got to think about it. It's a great question. I'm not.
It's an obvious answer.
There is?
To me,
in history?
I mean, the Nick Foles story? It's a pretty good one.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
Right?
Here's the problem, though. I don't know how it compares with the real thing.
If the movie can compare with the real thing?
Yeah, you win a Super Bowl. Like, what's the story is what? There's Nick Foles. Like, I don't know that other than being a backup quarterback, you know, even if you take some liberties and you make him like, I don't know.
Go back to high school. Drew Brees set all the records.
He went and he quit football. So instead of coming back, remember when he was thinking about quitting football? Mm. He actually did quit football. Then he comes back. And then he wins the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
I just don't think it... I don't.
AI? Wiping the hands in the Bentley? On the crabs?
No, it's interesting. That's more of a 30 for 30 than a biopic.
Okay. Because the biopic, it's got to be big.
Yeah,
it's grandiose.
Yeah, it's the story has to be really, really good, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now when we're talking about, you know, we're talking about something and it's got to be big and deep and winding.
Overcoming.
Because sports is so readily available in a great package, in a great way.
Yeah.
How do you make a, that's why, have you seen a lot of recent sports movies?
No.
There's not a lot of them.
No, Invincible obviously was one that had with that whole story.
I mean, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah, it is. It's what, 12 years?
Like a pure sports movie.
Ooh.
Give me the last pure sports, because here's the problem. Sports movies now, like you win the championship. All right.
Yeah, it's not enough.
I mean, You know, how low can you go and how high can you get? Can you soar?
Yeah, like The Blind Side was a pretty recent one that had a good story.
But
yeah.
That's different. That's a relationship
drama
between this woman and the young kid. And I mean, that's
yeah.
Sports is the backdrop. It's really about their relationship.
What about Wildcats? Goldie Hawn, the football coach. Remember that one? Yeah. You didn't watch that, did you?
No.
I can see you and Baldy sitting down watching that.
No.
Come on, boy. Let's watch a little Wildcats.
Wildcats.
Breaking down the tape of Wildcats.
Turns out, like, that's why you choose, like, high schools or...
Yeah, Friday Night Lights.
You know, that's why
man.
You try. Like, it's
Varsity
hardball.
Blues.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to... Because you can... There's so many different angles that you can go with. Teenage angst.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all
boy
that
meets
stuff.
Girl. Right.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
All that stuff. But you don't have... like, what do you do in the NFL? That's why there's no great NFL movies. You had Any Given Sunday, that was like a video, and that was it.
Yeah. And that was it.
You can't do it. It's impossible to do an NFL movie.
I was a big Gridiron Gang fan. The guys that they created a team, they were in the prison. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Like the
Rock.
The Rock.
The Longest
the Rock's
Yard.
In that?
No, not The Longest Yard. It was more of a serious movie, not a comedy.
Oh, okay. 610-622.
Oh, it was a serious movie?
Yeah.
Serious football
a little,
movie?
It's, you know, they're in a prison, but not Longest Yard prison.
All right.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
It's a hard movie.
Yeah?
It's not great. But it's not the NFL.
Who's the latest baseball movie?
The Rookie.
I mean,
Sandlot.
I mean, think about it.
25 years ago today, what was the movie where the kid was the GM for the Twins? Little Big League?
Oh, geez, yeah.
The GM or the pitcher?
No, when he was the GM.
Oh, that was the pitcher one was Rosenbauer.
Yeah, exactly. I love that movie.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
I love that movie, too.
So Little
movie.
Big League.
Chet Stedman.
Yeah, Nick Nolte.
Probably
Nick's always good in a sports movie. The last really good baseball movie was probably Moneyball.
That's horrible. Did I tell you?
Look what happened. Dude, I gave his game.
Dude, you know what kills me? I got to tell you a story. I was supposed to be in Moneyball.
What happened?
I was supposed to be in it. I went to Mexico for a wedding. And at the wedding was a casting director. I was in Acapulco. And the casting director was at this wedding. So we start talking and he goes, yeah, I got a cast for for this baseball movie that they turned. And I knew all about it. I said, really, Brad Pitt? He was like, yeah, so I'm casting for it. So I go, I want to be in it. I go, I'm a sports writer.
Yeah.
He says, well, all right, well, send me your, headshot and everything. So I do. And he goes, you got the part. He goes, you're going to be the sports writer. You'll interview Brad Pitt. I go, I can handle that.
Yeah.
It was done. Then all of a sudden, they didn't get fun. You remember, they were about to shoot and they got delayed. And then there was a different production team.
So it got
and they used a different
casting agency.
Yeah.
And you got bumped.
I got out. Yeah.
That would have been your big break.
Yeah.
You and Brad Pitt hanging out.
Yeah.
I could see you walk in and would see Brad Pitt go,
hey, you're looking good, man. What's up, brother? I would have. What's like going on, brother?
Philip Seymour Hoffman was a good manager in that, too. He had the look.
I never saw it.
You aren't in it, so you're out. 610, you're a beauty.
I
never saw
it.
Oh, my God. It is the midday show.
I refuse to say it.
Yeah, because you were...
you? I was this close to being in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to check it out. Set a critique.
No, I'm out. I didn't want to go near it.
Midday show.
To this day, I won't go near it.
Oh, back after this other fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
What up? Hello?
How's everyone doing?
Hello?
Let's make some noise, come on!
Hey. Alright, we're back.
We'll do it live!
Michael, sit down, Mike.
Now, well, you got your thing coming up.
What thing?
1 o'clock
Who cares? I hate that segment anyway.
Come on.
I do.
So I gave you a reference of Moneyball yesterday. You'd me, and you here it turns out you didn't watch Moneyball.
No, I refuse.
So I was trying to make the point that the analytics, this would have put him right in your wheelhouse. Because Billy Beane, in trying to replace Jason Giambi, who leaves, and Jason Isringhausen, who leaves, and who else leaves? Somebody big leaves. So he's now trying to replace him with three players who have high on-base percentages to play first base.
Yeah, the first baseman.
Right. So he picks up Scott Hatterberg.
Yep.
And Scott Hatterberg can't throw anymore. He was a catcher. Right. He can't throw, but his on-base percentage is like 400.
Right.
So he signs Scott Hatterberg, and he wants Art Hound, a manager, to play Scott Hatterberg at first base instead of Carlos Pena, who's a rookie home run hitter.
Right.
So he get and Art Hound keeps saying, screw you, and he's got Pena in the lineup every game. You know, Billy Beane comes down, walks into the manager's office, he goes, we're playing Pena. And he goes, Billy, you're out of your depth. And he puts Pena in the lineup again. So Billy Beane.
I just thought you were just doing
that. For Billy Beane to overcome that, he trades Pena.
Here's how you're not going to play him. You're not going to have him.
He trades. He trades.
He gets rid of him.
Serious?
The next day.
He trades him the next day.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's a great part of the story.
It's a good baseball story. It actually happened.
Well, yeah, it was in the book.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
but would you watch it? If you were me. I wouldn't watch it.
I understand how disappointed you are, but I would rationalize like, it's one of those things that happened. Different production company came in, so I couldn't be in the movie. Different production. It's one of those things. I would still watch the movie.
No.
Dead to him.
You're stubborn, man.
Ties hold grudges.
You are. You're hard-headed. You're hard-headed than I am, and I thought that was impossible.
But you know how it is. Like, you know, there's certain things that I'll refuse, like, it's dead to me. Like, yeah. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
Dead.
Like, the other station's dead to me.
Right, completely dead.
That's dead to me. I get it. I got the Italian thing.
Yeah, turn your back on them now.
But it was actually a pretty well-done movie.
But you know what?
Because it's the real-life people. Like, there's really a good part of it with David Justice in there.
Who cares?
Yeah. All that.
I read the book.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like I read the book. Right. It wasn't that good anyway. And I hate Billy Beane.
Well, I know you hate Billy Beane. Art Howe saying bleep you. And he tells the general manager, I appreciate Art Howe. He comes in, he goes, you're out of your depth.
I appreciate Art Howe.
I'm out of my depth. He trades the guy.
Like, no, you can't. That's such an awesome move. Yeah, it is. He used to literally watch the games. I have to laugh at
in that movie.
What's that?
Like, you made it's like the Oakland A's all of a sudden the Sisters of the Poor. They got Chavez playing third. They got Tejada at shortstop. They got Hudson on the mound. They got good players still.
Yeah, good players. And here's the thing. They didn't win squat. They won gots.
No, they won a lot of games. But they won gots when it came to
You can't have a Brad Pitt movie about a team that doesn't win it all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.